Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer. I'm coming to you live from the world famous Elite of the Week studios, and have we got a show for you. On the night meant to take a break from the beach, we instead got bullets flying as the closing moments turned the wrestling world upside down. But before we get into all the hijinks, flim-flam, and shenanigans, allow me to introduce to you my partner. And even though he seems completely blind when it comes to fashion, I have to respect his courtroom-style arguments, his underappreciated commentary, and his daredevil bravery. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Flo Bo Boyce. How are you, buddy?
I'm not sure how to take that, but I'll take it well. Thank you so much. I actually dressed kind of like a palm tree just for the occasion. It's beach break, even though I've been to Jacksonville Beach. You don't want to go there. But other than that, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's you and I, we didn't plan this, but we're both dressed kind of same. We got our blues and our whites, our beachy kind of flowery vibes. I'm digging it. I'm loving it. We got people who are in the chat loving it. What an amazing show. What a crazy way to wind things up. But of course, before we get into all the stuff, this is Elite of the Week. And for those of you who are new to the show, haven't heard us before or listened to us or watched us or whatever the case may be, we don't just break the show down. We don't just talk about it, Flo, but we take it one step further, nay, 10 steps further, and we power rank the wrestlers on the show, and we figure out who was the top person, who was not the top person, and who were all the people in between this power ranking sandwich. And basically what we do is when you get a top rank, anyone who gets ranked number one each week, you get 10 points. Then you get 9 points for number two. You get 8 points for number three. And we add up all the points until the end of the year where we have an actual, factual, mathematical power rankings for AEW of the year. And I think it's fair to say that it's probably the most accurate and most true ranking that you can get for AEW. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. We conferred with the entire Board of Trustees at the Elite of the Week services to mix AEW with Formula One power rankings. And I, for one, I'm kind of usually grumpy about them. But hey, look, they are pretty much solid. And so I can argue till I'm blue in the face, but it will still stand at the end of the night.
Well, what I like about it is I say we put them together whenever people disagree. But whenever people agree, I say, well, it's all me. I come up with it. It's just me.
Yeah, it's an asterisk, yeah.
Figuring this all out in the hour between the end of the show and the start of this one. It's a frantic hour in my house before we get this show going, just so you guys all know. But
once you get that Emmy, it'll be all worth it. You're like, yes!
My podcast Emmy award. Even the daytime Emmy people, even like the local daytime Emmy people, are like, shh, that doesn't count.
That doesn't count, yeah. To the audience, yeah.
So, you know, this episode, it was one that, before we get into the ranking, I just got to say, I love AEW. I love what they do. I love these specialty episodes. But Flobo, why are we doing a beach break theme in the middle of January?
I think because it's in Florida, but like I said at the top of the show, I used to live in that part of Florida, and that is no place to visit in January, I tell you. I have no idea.
I mean, we're in Southern California, and the weather is beautiful, but it's also not exactly let's go hang out at the beach weather either. We still got cool breezes coming through. This feels like a July kind of thing. You could have any number of specialty things. It just bothers me, Flobo. It bothers me that we have a beach break show with no beach theme in the middle of January. I feel like if this was your first time watching the show, you'd be like, why are they calling this beach break? That doesn't make sense at all. But
yeah, it's
whatever.
Like spring break.
I mean, yeah, if it was like even April, I would get it. If it was May, I would get it. But January? I mean, Christmas was 4 weeks ago. Some people still have their trees up. That's though, I guess.
Wait,
this
do you
year,
have your tree up?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I am a big old Grinch come December 27th.
Whoa, not even the Epiphany, bro?
No, I'm very, first off, but I am, to my credit, I'm one of those people who, like, November 1st, I'm like, let's get Christmas going. Let's do this.
Gotcha.
But then once it's over, I'm like, okay, let's just clear this out. Let's get it out of the way.
Fair enough.
But we'll save that for the Christmas wrap-up podcast. Let's talk about the show. Let's talk about the real meat and potatoes. Rank number one, Flobo. I have a feeling you're going to get crabby, but I think the answer has to be Kenta. Kenta's got to be number one. Pro wrestling is all about getting people stirred up. And that moment he was in there, not only did he take out one of the most dangerous men in the history of AEW very quickly, but he got the entire wrestling world in a tizzy. Everyone's tweeting, everyone's talking about it. What does this mean? Where does this go? Is the Bullet Club from Japan coming over to join the Bullet Club in the States? Is this part of that? Is this something different? What does it all mean? Is New Japan Pro Wrestling teaming up with AEW and Impact Wrestling? The fact that we're asking all these questions is what wrestling's all about, I tell you, Flobo. I got to put him at number one because no one came close to generating the stir he did.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with you. There's no reason why Kenta can't be number one or Hideo Tommy, bruh. With the implications, his actual appearance wasn't the greatest. He messed up his GTS. It's fine. It's cool, brother. But the implications are there. The multiverse exists. I saw it on social media. It's a big deal. My reservations are still standing in that, yes, we have these three companies working together, but what's the direction? What is the purpose of this? Is it just going to be this vendetta between Mox, Omega, and Kenta? And that's the case, it's a wasted opportunity because for what I'm seeing week to week, Impact and AEW is just the good brothers hanging out. I don't want Kenta to hang out and call that a three-way somehow merging of the minds. So give me more, and that'll be a solid number one for a long, long time.
But isn't that kind of the point? Like, you're asking, like, what's coming next? Because it'd be very easy to say, yeah, but if they all decide to do Mimosa Mayhem matches together, it's going to be a letdown. But of course that is. But what if the good stuff happens? What if it becomes a huge intergalactic wrestling battle for the life of the universe against the Thanos-type character? I don't know. What if it's everything? What if it is a multi-universe? What if it's everything we've ever dreamed of as pro wrestling fans, especially as pro wrestling fans who are around in 2001, if you know what I mean, seeing two big companies come crashing to a head? What if this is just the beginning? What if this is that long con? What if this is that thing that gets us invested for a long time? Because I'll be honest, before this episode, I was with you. I was like, okay, man, this partnership thing is dragging. It's going on and on. But as soon as I saw Kenta, it was like triple the excitement of when Impact started. It was like it built up and it meant something. Am I just being an apologist?
No, it's a hard way to say that. Because usually you're totally an apologist. it's like this. If this moment happened in a bubble, or let's just say last week the Good Brothers showed up and Kenta showed up, I would be completely on board. There's no denying that, especially now where all the travel restrictions are happening, this actually has another element of, can they do that? But here's the problem with AEW. I mean, not like, there's a lot of problems, but here's the problem with this for this purpose. Oh, that's not gonna happen. You better not do that. Is that the Impact Alliance was dragged out. For its good, all the goodwill that I had for that for months got dragged out. Miro was the best man for what, 4 months? Before we actually had a wedding? And I know that's how it is in real life, but come on! So, like, I am pretty much growing impatient of this wait-and-see thing. We sit here week to week, we're talking about Team Taz, or where does Brian Cage go? Like, I understand decompressed storyline. You don't want to rush your storylines, and I don't care if you're a wrestling fan, comic book fan, or soap opera fan, but this decompression is starting to weigh on me. So, this is why Kenta shows up. And I am glad, but I am not excited. Because the last thing I want is just another Bullet Club pussyfooting around while all these rosters are going to end up not being used. I'm crabby.
You are being crabby. But look, it's fair. I get it. I'm acknowledging how you feel.
Are we in couples therapy right now? I understand.
I'm acknowledging. I am processing. We'll agree to disagree. We'll just agree to disagree. I'm excited. You're not. I see the glass is half full. You knock the glass over angrily because you just can't be bothered to give it a chance to show you how delicious the drink is.
It was plastic, Jack. It's bad for the environment.
But I think there's something we can agree on, Flobo, and that is that the people who join us for the show and listen along are the absolute best. Thank you to everyone who's joining us in the chat. Thank you to everyone who's listening along, whether it's live, whether it's on YouTube or Twitch, or whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You guys are so appreciated. If you could do me a huge favor, though, and just hit the like button, leave a comment, subscribe, and share with your friends. That's how we get the show to grow. That's how we get the information out there. That's how we get people to catch on. And that's how you get guests sometimes, Flobo. In fact, we'll talk about guests in a little bit for a little show we do tomorrow. At the end, we've got a big surprise for you. I'm not going to give it away. I'm going to let you say it, but I'm teasing it. This is a tease, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a big guest for the show tomorrow. Flobo, you're going to say it at the end, but you got to stick through to the end. I'm just trying to thank everyone for watching and listening. That's all I'm doing, Flobo. I'm just trying to say thank you.
And I'm always that. Thank you all for watching to lead the week. And I know sometimes I run Jagracket, but I do that out of love.
You're not going to like number two.
I love it already. I have to love it now because I want to be a total crab. All
right. I am giving it for to the points. Good Brothers. I'm giving number two to the Good Brothers. Look, not like they didn't just get a big main event win on AEW. They come into AEW like they run the place. They're not even on the roster. They're the tag team champs of another company. They come in like they own the place. They're undefeated. They beat up everybody. And not only that, but they took a second to take a shot at the team that's challenging them for the Impact titles, Private Party, by getting them eliminated earlier on in the night. I mean, for the most part, they had a pretty flawless day, not only handling business for Impact, so to say, by getting rid of Private Party in their match, but also by handling business against three very tough hombres in the main event. I don't know what they could have done more to get higher other than be Kenta.
I think that they deserve a number two spot. In fact, I agree with you. I think the Good Brothers did a lot, and they should be in a number two spot. However, they are not contracted AEW talent. So in theory, this group can potentially be on the year-end Elite of the Week list, not being AEW talent. What's that say to the rest of the roster? Who is that good enough to be on your list when they're not even on the roster?
If you get into matches, you get to be potentially part of this. Why? Because AEW Dark is filled with folks who aren't on the roster on the website. So AEW, they work with some people that they don't put on the website. The only way I know if you're officially part of the roster, by the way, is if you're on the website. If you're not on the website, I assume that you're hanging out, doing some work. You're part of the company, maybe, but you're not one of the guys on the website. But there's a lot of people who aren't on the website who are on the show, so I can't sift through it all. I don't have time to read through contracts. I don't have time to do journalistic work. I just make things up, put them on a list, and claim to be credible, Flobo. So that's my workaround.
So basically, you could be from any promotion as long as you're just on Dynamite. You could be on this Elite of the Week list.
I mean, at this rate, we have
three. They don't work here.
Three individuals have been named so far, and not one of them are a part of AEW. Now that I think about it,
I claim shenanigans and malarkey.
Malarkey's for the other show, Flobo. This is a shenanigans show.
My mistake.
On this side of the Wednesday Awards, we use shenanigans. Okay.
My mistake.
That's the it is interesting that this team comes in. They come in so strong. They come in so hot, and they're really bullying everybody around. It's interesting because when I look at like the NWA Women's Championship, I don't mean to cast shade upon AEW, but it seems like visiting champions tend to, as our friend Evan Mack would say, run amok when they're in AEW and kind of take control of whatever division they're a part of.
Run amok and beat the brakes off people. You know what? That's great. I like the fact that AEW does that. It's not to compare to WCW, but I kind of feel like that's what WCW was going for, right, in the World Tour era. Like, anyone from all over the planet, Mexico, Japan, come here, you think you're the best of the best of the best. And that's what we're seeing here, especially in the NWA Women's Division. It's almost like a different, like, brand within a brand. I'm not sure that's the Serena Deeb thing or Thunder Rosa thing, but yeah, why not? Why not have these mix and matches? I'm just kind of surprised they make lists, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, because I think it takes more to show up into someone else's yard and take control of it than to do it in your own backyard. You know what I
Fair
mean?
enough.
I think they came over to AEW and they're pushing people around. If they were just doing it in their own backyard, it's whatever. But they're kind of, you know, they're taking over.
Look at the adjective, play. That still bothered me so long.
Oh man, don't get me started. Anyways, I think before we get into trouble, we should just transition over to the third person. The person ranked at number three. I think you're gonna like this one, Flo, but I think you're gonna agree with me. I think we're gonna finally be able to be happy about this placement. I am putting at number three, Britt Baker. She got a huge win against Thunder Rosa today. She beat someone in what so far, or at least as of the past month or so, has been the biggest rivalry within the women's division. She got a, I'd say, a pretty clean win against Thunder Rosa, who in a lot of ways feels a little bit like the Daniel Bryan of AEW, in the sense that she's a great wrestler. People love her no matter what she does. They want to see her succeed. But Britt Baker, she had a great match. She wrestled really well, and she beat someone who was trying to be a bit like the Good Brothers and come into her backyard and push her around. But instead, she showed her that that's still her yard.
Oh, I see. Britt Baker's number three this week. How about that? Okay. Yeah, sure. I'll give you all that. I feel you are laying on a little thick with old Britt Baker. I mean, I think Thunder Rosa did a lot of that work tonight, but you know what? Of what I've seen, definitely number three is a perfect spot. No objections. Britt Baker, number three.
Yeah, I thought Britt Baker just looked really good tonight. I thought she looked like she was wrestling very well. Again, Thunder Rosa is one of the best on the planet, and Britt Baker, I thought, hung in there, hold for hold, move for move, but she got the win, which is the best part. And she's been such a entertaining person to watch. She's been set, like, between her stuff on AEW Dark with the waiting room, and obviously her stuff with Tony Schiavone and everything else. She, in a lot of ways, feels like she should be in the conversation for the title. The only reason I don't have her up or higher above the Good Brothers is for all that she's done, for all the interviews she's done, for all the wins she's done, for the big win tonight, she's still in the same spot as all the other women who are in the Eliminator tournament as far as getting closer to being the women's champion. And it didn't get her past Tay Conti. It didn't get her past Anna Jay. It didn't get her past all these other people who haven't been wrestling on Dynamite. So that's the only thing that held me back from putting her up higher above the Good Brothers, to be quite frank.
I think you make a valid point there, but fair enough. A top three showing is nothing to sneeze at. That's what, 8 points for good old Britt Baker? That'll come in handy on other lists as the year go on.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, especially that women's division wide open as far as the power rankings go. But now it's time for our favorite part of the day, Flobo, the part that you and I never agree on, the part that we argue about. We're agreeing a little bit too much so far, so I can't wait to hear you tell me how wrong I am. It's time for the best dressed part of the night. This one is always near and dear to my heart. It's very hard for me not to give it to you, Flo, but I think you look rather
Oh,
nice
try to
today.
butter me up. Thank you, man. Appreciate
You know, there was,
it.
it's interesting. Last week, there was very few people that felt like they really reached to be the best dressed. And I felt like this week, there was a lot of them. I'll be honest, James Mitchell crossed my mind. I love that jacket he was wearing. I thought Tully Blanchard had a great looking jacket on as well. There was a lot of great stuff, but today it goes to Flying Brian Jr., man. Varsity Blondes wearing that Canadian tuxedo on the outside during a lumberjack match. Flobo, do you know the fashion foresight it takes to wear a Canadian tuxedo when you are a lumberjack? That is beautiful. It was just perfect fashion. I loved it. It stood out. It was a risky move. Brian Pillman Jr., you get the award. Actually, you know what's even better? I have you designated as a tag team, so you and Griff Garrison get the award, even though you were the one wearing the Canadian tuxedo. I'm just going to keep calling it Denim Dan Canadian tuxedo instead of a jean outfit.
We had people in actual tuxedos tonight, Jack. And you're saying Canadian tuxedo superior? What is going on, man?
Wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, Chuck Taylor, if for a funny pick, maybe even Miro, but the guy's wearing the Orange Cassidy costume. Fine.
I mean,
Fine.
he looked in his closet, Flobo. He looked in his, he's like, I'm going to be on national television, network TV. I'm going to be broadcast to a million people, and I'm going to wear the denim. I'm going to dress like the president, Levi Strauss. I'm going to dress
The president. Oh,
the
wow.
president of Levi Strauss. I got to give it to him. I think that he's the guy that was the best dressed. I thought it was a risk. Look, wearing a tux is nice, but it's not like you're taking a risk. You know what I mean? You're not making a fashion statement, right?
It isn't the riskiest fashion. It's the best dressed. Best.
But you can't be best if you play it safe. You gotta have a little bit of flair. You gotta stand out. And he was outside of the ring with a bunch of other people who'd all blended together like a herd of zebras, but he stood out like a magnificent lion with his beautiful hair, his denim jacket, his denim jeans, Flying Brian Jr. You are the best dressed for this week, Elite of the Week. Ring the bell.
Can't argue that, but I just want to say no one's ever said sweet Canadian tuxedo, bro.
Okay, now it's time to get off the rails. You ready to go off the rails?
We're doing before.
It got a little tricky after this part.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer, at number four.
Four.
He got a big win over Eddie Kingston. He fought damn near every single lumberjack while he was at it. His manager, Jake the Snake, even took out Angelico. But he got a huge win. But not just that, he closed out the show by coming out and clearing out the Good Brothers, who, as you know, were ranked number two this week. So that's no small task. But he took out basically the Bullet Club all on his own. I think this is him telling us that he's ready to be elevated. When he came in, he was an unstoppable monster, but he was always kind of on that back burner, always kind of waiting, biding his time. I think now he's like, look, I've been saying everybody dies. It's time for some folks to start dying. Here I am, the Murder Hawk Monster. Bullet Club, you're next. I'm number four, Lance Archer.
People are gonna start dying at Beach Break. No. Well, look, if anyone here to be top five, I think, and I'm not even the biggest Lance Archer fan, but as far as what he did today, being in multiple segments, totally destroying Eddie Kingston, even though Eddie Kingston's not really a threat anymore, that should be he should be a dud, bro, if you don't have them there already. But yeah, Lance Archer did the work. He showed up. He showed himself as formidable. He looks like a million bucks. Jake the Snake is still being used. I know they're not the smoothest manager wrestler tandem. It is a top five, say, for sure.
I think the fact that it's not the smoothest is what makes it great because they are just such rough people. Like, if they were smooth and calculated, it wouldn't work as well. But because they are such terrifyingly rough people, I think that's what makes it work. I think that's what is kind of the beauty here. Honestly, I didn't have him ranked as high at first, but he really bumped up his stock and bumped up his value by coming in at the end. I think the coming in at the end and asserting himself at the end of the show is what really added value to him this week and what really helped him move up those power rankings. Like I said, this is one of those moves that I think at first we all just say, okay, he came out and did some damage, cool, whatever. But I think this is one of those moments that will quietly be remembered as the thing that really catapulted Lance Archer to another level within AEW. And I think that's why it's a big deal.
Every time he shows up, I met him once at an airport. The end.
Was he cool?
Yeah, he was Vance Archer back then. He was ECW or WWECW.
I like how you that oh, in that case,
Yeah. I don't know.
He was
because, like,
cool then, but then he changed his name to Lance instead of Vance, and now he's a total jerk.
it's no, but it's the opposite. I feel like meeting Vance Archer isn't as cool as meeting Lance Archer now.
I mean, you don't have to say it was Vance. You could just say you met Lance.
I like being specific.
Did you talk to him?
I won't say if I did, because if he clipped this out and hear this, he'll come after me. No, I just say, hey, what's up? I saw you on Sci-Fi Tuesday, and I was like, cool, brother. And that was
Oh,
it.
that's cool. Is he massive?
Yeah. Total house.
Yeah.
Total house.
I've said before, man, the people who they look big on TV, but they look massive in real life, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. So at number five, I'll be honest, it gets tough after five this week for me. But we got to pick people. We got to put them in their place. Well, that sounds negative. I got to put them in their place. I got to give them the rankings. I give number five to Kenny Omega. I thought he had a strong showing. He won in the main event. His team potentially grew. We don't know what's going on, but the fact that all the love that I gave Kenta earlier is partially attributed to, at the very least, to Kenny Omega. Because if Kenny Omega hadn't been doing all the things he's been doing, then this would just be Kenta's here. Okay. But because of all the things Omega's been doing, that helped add value. So not only did he get the win in the main event, but he also had this a part of this Kenta thing. Also, great match. I love the moment he had with Phoenix where he caught him walking the ropes and hit that Snapdragon off of the ropes. I thought that was incredible. Lots of cool moves, lots of good stuff. Still proving that he can go with anybody out there. Kenny Omega, number five.
Yeah, having the champion on the list is not a bad thing. And I do think that Kenny Omega should pick points besides his fashion. But it was, to me, I would have put Ray Phoenix over, or Phoenix over him. I'm not sure on that list, but I'm not that upset about it. He's a champion. He acted such. It was a solid match. If you're a Kenny Omega fan, you're probably jumping on the couch for joy. I'm still not sold at him as being champion, especially how strong Mox was and how much he carried that brand on his shoulder and back. But what we saw tonight, I don't see a top five being that bad.
Well, the issue with Phoenix is, just as an FYI, one of the reasons he's not ranked higher, I thought he was the star of the match. I think he's the star of every match he's in. He's incredible in the ring. I think he's one of my favorite actually watching him perform out right now. But he lost. That means something. You got to pick up a dub, you know?
It does.
It does. It means a lot. It means a lot.
Didn't last week you had Dax on the list who lost and Lance on the list who lost? Did these guys lose their matches last week? They're on top 10? And now you're saying dubs count?
But it was the way it happened, Flobo. There's nuance to it. You see, you gotta parse through all the details like I do. I have an analytical computer that is just processing like crazy all the different facts and figures and numbers to get this list just right. So
Alexander York in the house. Fine, Jack. We're just screwy less. I can't win. That's the Queensberry rules. I can't win.
Yeah, you'll notice whenever Flobo gives any actual like argument I can't beat, I just say, oh, well, actually, there's...
Did you read the Nigel book?
that's every argument in real life, by the way. If you beat me in an argument, I'll pull out some random thing that I know that doesn't matter at all. You can't argue, though.
A win's a win.
I read the Nitro book for everyone listening, and now whenever I argue Flobo, if Flobo gets me with an argument, I just say, well, you haven't read the Nitro book, so you wouldn't understand.
And then he just sets me up. Well, he's right.
Even it has nothing to do with it. It's great. It'll be like, PlayStation 2 was the best system ever. They're like, oh, Dreamcast was. Well, you didn't read Nitro book, so. So anyways, let's go on. Let's get back on track. Let's get back to what matters. We're getting to number six. And this one started early. I think they deserve being here. Chris Jericho and MJF, the Inner Circle's tag team, they won the Rumble and will challenge the Young Bucks at Revolution. I wanted to rank them higher as well because they won a title shot. This is a big win. They beat a lot of people in a big Rumble. But the reason I'm not ranking them higher is obviously the dissension in the ranks. Sammy Guevara is not happy. Sammy Guevara wants to break away. It looks like maybe Jericho is torn on what to do about that. MJF looks like he's about to take advantage of that. I think that Proud and Powerful aren't super happy about what's going on. I think even Jake Hager might not be super happy about what's going on. So even though they got the win, I ask myself at what cost. So I think they did good. I think they get a title shot. I think we kind of were expecting them based on their talent levels to be getting this title shot. But I feel like this is going to be one of those things where it's going to be subtraction by addition, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Young Bucks, whether or not you like them or love them, they're one of the better tag teams on the planet, and they could have worked with every single one of these tag teams. We're talking about Top Flight, we're talking about Private Party. It would have been fun in their own different ways. MJF and Jericho make sense on some level because they are the more dysfunctional tag team. They're getting wins, and it's always fun to see how can these two things coexist with their title aspirations and dysfunctional, I mean, with the rest of the group. However, and I want to choose my words carefully because I don't want anyone to come at me, bro. Because Jack puts in their mean headlock and goes, read the Nitro book. Ah! it is becoming absolutely embarrassing how many people have to slow down to make Jericho work, to the point where he's not even going to sell. He sold the move standing up straight to take a drop kick. And I'm like, I get it. Storyline, I'm in. The Young Bucks should beat this. I want to see what happens with the Inner Circle. But the matches themselves are slow to a crawl every time Jericho's in the ring. And you had a match like this, you see other talent speed up around each other and go, oh, wait, now it's my turn for Jericho. That's critical. Someone's going to get hurt in that ring as long as Jericho's doing what he's doing right now. And that's why I go, cringe.
Well, let me respond by saying it does not sound like you chose your words carefully.
I'm sorry.
It sounds like you were just talking. But I have a fun little bit of homework for you. Check out the Acclaim's music video from AEW Dark this week as they poke fun at Jericho. And it's some fun stuff. They make of course, they rhyme and it's fun. But Max Caster says things like, I don't need to drop you on your head. You'll just do a lion salt. make some little attacks at him, which is kind of fun. Max Caster, fun listen. I think his stuff's, not to sidetrack, I think Max Caster's raps are better when they're in pre-produced videos as opposed to on the stage, because I don't think the sound is good. It's always hard to understand him on the stage, but in the videos it's done better so you can hear it. I digress.
I'm not heel Beto, Charlene. The chat's saying I'm heel Beto. I'm not being a heel.
You are heel Beto. Everyone's like, this was fun. This is great. We're all excited about this. And you're like,
I agreed. It was a fun match.
Your poo-pooing was way more than your fun matching.
Okay. It was a great match, guys.
I'm just saying. I feel like when you're someone like Jericho, you've earned a bit of some space. It's just like a Goldberg, you know, you get to come in, do a few moves, and we still love you. If you're the Undertaker, you get to go to the Boneyard, throw someone in a grave, bury them, and you're happy. We're all happy about it. I like Jericho. I think he's fine. But because I don't think when I'm watching him, it's not necessarily about how quick he is or how fast he is. It's more about what's going to happen during the match that I'm always attracted to. So
fair enough.
So I don't know.
Dylan Matthews, your argument today should be good.
It's true, yeah. Dylan Matthews with a very valid point, by the way. If your argument is not in the Nitro book, I don't want to hear it, Flobo. It's true. They addressed Jericho and AEW in the Nitro book, if you read the right spots and in between the lines.
But the Nitro book had lies of me.
Hey, you haven't read it. You don't know.
I haven't. I'm sorry. You're right.
This is speaking of poo pooing. It's time for the dud of the week. Now, dud of the week is it's an award we give out. I'm never thrilled to give it out because it hurt. It's hurtful. It's mean. But someone is the lowest on the list, Flobo. As I said before, this is the top 10 list, but I rank everybody. I'm keeping track as the show goes on. I'm keeping track of where everyone would be. So I know where Top Flight would be. I know where Jungle Boy would be. I know where everyone who's not on the list would be. Spoiler alert, Jungle Boy's not on the list. I know where they would fall. Someone is in last place every week. You just are. And because of that, you get the dud of the week. And that means you get a negative point. We take it away from your year-end total. And this was one of the hardest dud of the weeks I've ever given out. It was one of the hardest because it's not just about how someone performs in a match sometimes. It's not just about a promo. Sometimes it's more than that. And this one was hard because it's someone I really don't want to give it to, Flobo. I really don't want to give it to her because it was her special day. Penelope Ford, she got married today, and she looks stunning, and she got through the I do's, which is more than most wrestling weddings. But she went face first in a cake, Flobo. The whole day was ruined. And worst of all, she didn't even get best dressed on this show in her wedding gown. I don't know how else to put this, but she's the dumb of the week. I know it's her special day. I'm sorry, Penelope. I'm sorry. I know this is supposed to be the best day of your life. And it pains me to say it, but you're the dumb of the week.
I want to tell people who are listening right now that Jack has a possibility to give someone a point for best dress, but he opts to take it away on her wedding day just because he can. And they say, I am the heel. Okay, fine.
Fine. I'm just, look, I mean, it's funny. Well, it's not funny. It was interesting. Kip was the person in this spot because Kip was the one that got knocked out. Mm-hmm. But then I gave the best dressed award to Brian Pillman Jr. And then I was thinking, how can the bride not be the best dressed on her day? That had to be a really bad day, Flobo, to not be the best dressed at your own wedding. And especially when the best dressed person's wearing a jean jacket and jean pants.
It is kind of messed up. You're the guy that crashed the wedding.
And I just, I'm sorry, Penelope. I know it was your special day. I feel terrible. And you know, I, it gets better.
Oh, come on. It's a minus point, man. She'll live.
I felt like, oh man. Do you think anyone else deserves the Dud of the Week award, Flobo?
No, I can't top that. I want her to find out what you said about her and track you down.
I don't want her to find out. I don't want her to know.
They will clip it out, guaranteed.
I don't want anyone to. I don't want to know. I don't want, because I feel terribly about it. Like it was. It started so well. I love that they got James Mitchell. I thought that was great. I thought that's a fun. He's the perfect person to do this in the wrestling world. The guy, sure, who's known as the Sinister Minister. I thought the fact that Miro was able to stop all of the typical things from happening, from stopping the wedding, they were getting through it. It was so good. But then
there's only one Dud of the Week that's not Penelope. It's Sting. It's Sting. I that's another story. I thought that would have been wrapped up, but Sting came to the ring, told Ricky Stark, "Hey, I'm still an icon, I think," and left. And so I thought that would be done classification. But no, you rather go for a woman on a wedding day and say sorry. I'm no points for you.
It's because it was supposed to be perfect, and it was as far from perfect as it could have been, Flobo. I don't know how you done it harder than that, but. We're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on plowing through here. I'm sorry, Penelope, but anyways, number seven, getting points, the best friends. I thought they, they outsourced.
Wait, everyone gets points besides Penelope?
Everyone involved gets points except for the bride on her wedding day, on the best day of her life. But you know, you got to give them credit. They outsmarted Miro. And Miro came ready to play. He was like, look, don't ask if anyone has objections. Get rid of the giant box in the ring. I'm ready to beat some folks up if they get involved. But okay, they thought all of that through. And they handcuffed his leg. They got him all separated. They beat him down. And the best friends, no longer a butler, you know, Chuck Taylor, he's back, baby, and he is he gets points. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he looked pretty fancy too. You got him a ceremonial point, but I know you wouldn't
give who a ceremonial point.
Chuck Taylor.
Oh, yeah, no, he gets a point. He gets multiple points. He gets whatever you, however many points you get for number seven. I can't do the math. I mean, I gotta do the math real quick in my head. So yeah, I thought they were great. I think they go number seven. At number eight, Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy, he aligned himself with a former tag champ, and he got his tag team to get a number one contender shot for the Impact titles. I think he's rocking and rolling, doing this manager-wrestler thing better than anybody right now, and he got a win. I mean, it wasn't the biggest win in the world, but he got a win, and he's getting positive momentum.
Okay, it's fine. Here's a question for you, though. Your thoughts about Big Money Matt. What's his deal? What's he about? What do you think?
I would guess he's about two things, big and money.
Well, there you go. Okay.
No, I think he's someone who – he's a wrestler. He's a guy who's at that point in his career where he doesn't know how many more big paydays he has left. So what he's doing the smart thing. He's like, look, I can make some money on my – I can make some money by managing. I can make some money by wrestling. I can get in some big spots. He knows that Hangman is a proven tag team champion, so he's hitching his wagon to him. And he's also getting Private Party to go get tag team championships over in the other company. It's actually brilliant, and he's trying to make the most of his time left in the ring, and I think he's making some big money. I think he's probably one of the smartest guys going right now.
Sure. I mean, it's just a far departure of all the other Matt Hardy characters. Not necessarily the Woken ones, but just all the ones he had during his career. I'm still interested to see what Big Money Matt can do in this landscape with AEW, but I'm currently on the fence. But I think an eighth place finish is pretty solid. Can't complain about that.
What would you like to see him do to move up the power rankings?
Align himself with the main eventer, maybe? In the singles division?
Do you, as a manager or in a tag team?
No, as a manager. If he, like, poached Powerhouse Hobbs, for example, and made him something in his image away from Team Taz, that'd be kind of fun.
Interesting. You would say Powerhouse is a main eventer?
Yes. He's stacked. He has energy. He's being wasted in Team Taz. I mean, he's not... Okay, yeah. Waste is a harsh word, but he's kind of the guy in the back. You know what I mean? He's not even the bruiser because you got Brian Cage. It's like, what? It was a duplicate pickup, if I be so bold.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but you think that would be the best thing? You would say if you were talking to Matt Hardy, you would say, look, man, what you should do is just move on from all this other stuff, sign a bigger deal, and just focus on one superstar instead of trying to spread yourself too thin.
If you are big money, you're taking that literally. All the other divisions, the TNT division, the women's division, the tag team division, they are secondary to the grandest prize in your sport. Right? Get the biggest money. Big money.
Can't argue that. I mean, that seems to be a smart move, but I think he might be buying low to sell high with someone like Hangman. I think he could get there as well. Speaking of, let's go to number nine. Thunder Rosa. She built herself up, I think, very well. I think she has been one of the backbones of the women's division over the past few months, with or without a title, and she's done it purely based on her talent and her ability and the fact that I think everyone just loves her and everyone wants to see her do well and see more of her. She took a hard L today, but it was because maybe she got a little bit double-teamed along the way. This one, I think that this one you might give me a hard time on because she lost instead of won, but I think she's great, and I think she has a bright future at AEW.
It says a lot when you have somebody where we don't even know the status of the talent, whether they're on loan, whether they're signed, whether they're full-time, part-time, or whatever. This giant mystery, but yet she comes out, and you said it yourself, is one of the backbones of the women's division. There are three spheres of influence here. There's what's going on with Sheeta. There was going on with Serena Deeb in the NWA title, but there has to be some kind of bridge between the two. Because as long as this goes on, there's going to be the question, which championship matters the most in AEW? The AEW Women's Division or the NWA? Ask me that question today on Pure Wrestling Talent, it's the NWA. So if you have Thunder Rosa, who is a free agent, or she is on loan, you need someone to shore up your defenses on the AEW side. That if something were to happen at an NWA championship, you're not left in the lurch.
I agree. Yeah, I think... I don't know what her status is. I don't know where she's going. I don't know how long she's going to be around. But wherever she decides to wrestle, that place is going to be much better off with her than without her. Number 10, we're going to move to the final person on the ranking. 1 point, Hangman Adam Page. He paired up with a new partner, got a win. He doesn't want to be teaming up with people. He doesn't want to be a tag team. But he did it. He got a win. It wasn't the biggest moment of the night. Wasn't the biggest moment of his month, but it's a positive move in a positive direction. Hard to take anything away from it. Again, it wasn't the craziest moment of the night by a long shot, but a win is a win.
Sure, that's pretty much a bonus point for his shirt last week in that promo. It was awesome. Yeah, Hangman Page is a favorite of mine. Like I always say, people always ask me, hey, you know, heel, beat, toe. I see you in these streets. You hit every AEW wrestler because they're not in Connecticut. And I go, no, I'm a big Wardlow guy, Janela guy, and I like Hangman Adam Page. He is one of, when I think of AEW as homegrown talent, even though he was established in Japan, much like how Cody Rhodes was, much like how Kenny Omega was, I always think about how he's grown so much inside that bubble. He's doing the thing that Kenny Omega has failed to do and make himself a unique character inside the sphere of AEW, and it showed it tonight. So, yeah, 10 is well-deserved. I will probably give him an extra point, a Flobito point, which means nothing. I'll give you one of those.
Yeah, you make an interesting point about the being homegrown talent, because I hate when people get caught up in who's homegrown, where, you know, oh, well, they were here first. Just about everybody was somewhere else first. You know what I mean? Just because you didn't see them in different places doesn't mean they weren't there. But that said, people start to hit differently in certain places, right? Like Adam Cole was in other places, but he hit different once he came to NXT. I think the same thing with Hangman Adam Page. He was other places. He hit differently once he hit AEW. And so it's weird to say homegrown, because I always feel like that's disrespectful to a lot of places that they've been. But I also think that if you're using it as shorthand, it's totally fine. I think people need to get over it sometimes when they get a little bit crabby about certain things like that. Charlene asks who my favorite AEW wrestler is, or who is your favorite AEW wrestler. Maybe that's to you, because you were saying I like Hangman's probably my favorite, by the way. But with who's yours? He has buttless chaps, so I love him.
Oh, he does. He's had one couple weeks. I feel like he hasn't brought him up for us. I mean, for him, his fans. traditionally, it's been Wardlow. I've been a Wardlow fan more than anyone. Like of all the weeks, I've looked at Wardlow the most. He has potential to really be a kind of person that, if you know nothing about AEW, this could be the fresh talent you need. Because as good as Cody is, as good as Omega is, to get those newer fans, those casual fans that are going to somehow show up your merchandise sales, you got to give them original characters they're not going to find anywhere else. You don't want to have a new fan go, oh, this guy has 20 years of material in Japan. Woo! So I thought Wardlow's my guy. But right now, I'm with Paige as well.
I think both of them are going to be huge stars in the future. Also, Charlene, Double Downs, is your favorite different than who you think is the best?
The best around. There's so many good. I mean, look, Ricky Starks is up there. I don't particularly care for him as much, but if someone told me he was whack, I was like, nope. Because he's proven that he's not. He's proven that he's not. He goes toe-to-toe. He's been the utility man, the Swiss Army knife for your promotion. Not to compare him to Cesaro, but he's pretty much been the Cesaro for that company. So he's top tier. So I guess that's different that way, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Best is always weird for me, because I think that there's so many different ways in pro wrestling. Best means bet, you know? Like, I think someone like Cody makes everything he does seem so important. Randy Orton has that same quality, I always say, where it's people who everything they do seems so important, but no one's going to light up a ring like Phoenix does at the same time. So yeah. It's always, you know, that's always a weird way to
kind of look. In a weird way. There's a fire breather guy. There's the muscle men. You know, there's the jugglers. They all have a role, man.
Yeah, exactly. Cirque du Soleil, that's a great way to put it, because there's just certain things that you're like, well, that's the best thing I've ever seen, but this other thing is also the best thing I've ever seen. So it's hard to say. Anyways. on to the farmer's market, Flobo. This is where I pick someone who was on AEW Dark, that if you could buy stock in a wrestler, this is the wrestler you want to pick, because they are about to have growth in their career. I try to pick a different one every week. I try not to have the same person every week, because it'd get boring if it was like, yep, one of these days, so-and-so is going to hit.
So the goal is to get a farmer's market pick, then show up in Dynamite wearing the best dress pick, and then win a bunch of matches to get on top.
Yes, that's exactly nice. That is exactly the, if this was a video game, that would be the career mode.
for our web show.
So this week, someone who people have been familiar with, they know her, she's been around for a while, but I feel like now is the time to invest. Now is the time to buy in. This is like GameStop stock a few weeks ago, because I think she's going to blow up here. She's been getting wins on Dark. She's from NXT. It's Tay Conti. I think now is the time. She has been affiliated with the Dark Order, but not quite a part of the Dark Order. And Negative One loves her. You can tell because he's on commentary when she's on. And he, by the way, is just a treat to listen to on commentary. If you haven't watched AEW Dark, what I like about listening to him do commentary is because he's so young, you can just hear the love he has of what he's watching and how excited he is about things and how fun things are. So it's fun to hear him talk. But he loves Tay Conti. He's the new leader of the Dark Order. I think he's going to get her to join. And now she is a part of the Eliminator Tournament. And I think she has a chance to make a solid run. I don't know if she's going to win the whole thing, but I think she could do some damage in there. And I think she might make some noise. So I think if you're going to buy stock in her, you need to do it now before that tournament starts. It's going to be like investing in Jim Carrey before the numbers from Ace Ventura come out. You know what I mean? You got to get there before it happens.
I'd say Tay Conti is a positive stock, but it's going to be like Coca-Cola. It's going to go up over time, but I don't think it's going to be a rocket situation. She is currently now a journeywoman. She usually is called in these tag matches, pulled in with Dark Order, not with Dark Order, depending on the storyline. We see her in some of these tournaments. We see her in backstage segments. I do think she's going to have a good showing, the best of what she was, but she was considered surplus up in Connecticut or down in Orlando, whatever you want to think about it. It's really up to her now this year to prove to the world that it was a mistake. And so if everything was being equal, I would say, all right, safe buy, a conservative buy. But she could really turn the gas on in this tournament. It'd be a whole nother game, man.
Yeah, and look, I know people, when I say this, I don't mean she's going to go winning the title tomorrow. I'm saying it's a stock. You buy it. Like you said, it takes time. You invest now, but now it's starting to make its upward momentum. You know what I mean? It takes time. And now these stocks that shoot through the moon in one day, you shouldn't be worried about them. It's long term. It's financial planning.
It's like GameStop, though. GameStop did exactly that. It just.
Did you read Nitro Book?
I did not. I'm so sorry.
Well, then you wouldn't understand.
I withdraw my statement. Matthews, he's with me. He's with Wardlow. What's up? Take out his boot thing, and he's with Wardlow, man. He's my homie.
Yeah. Dylan Matthews, Haywood, Charlene, everyone in the chat. Again, I thank you guys so much for joining us. It's been an hour. We've been chatting about it. Any final thoughts? Anyone who I didn't mention that you think deserves a shout-out or a mention?
I actually like Team Taz hanging outside the building. Like, I actually believe them for once, if that means something. I'd be like, I believe, like, hey, look, let me in. There's some damage in there. Still think Powerhouse Hobbs can be somewhere else, but I thought it was solid showing from them. But, yeah, definitely Kenta shifted the paradigm, no pun intended, once more.
I agree. I liked that they were outside. I thought that was a cool kind of thing, especially since they said they were locked out because of what they did last week. It added a little bit more weight to what they did, so I liked it. I agree, it's time for them to start doing some stuff, though. I mean, I have to double check how far away Revolution is, but I feel like they need to have their rivalry with Sting and get moving, get going.
Storyline needs to be doing stuff. I don't know, man. What's more likely? And I want your opinion on this one. I'm not trying to be a heel Beto. What is more likely, that Team Taz implodes or Sting and Darby Allin break up?
Sting and Darby Allin break up. And the reason I say that, Flobo, the reason I believe that is because Darby Allin is a hoodlum, and I see him not liking, I see him getting sick of old man Sting trying to tell him what to do and trying to take him under his wing. I see Darby Allin saying, I'm my own guy. I don't need you. I got a skateboard and I'm going to roll my own way. That's what I see happening.
Hey, old dude, stop helping me. That's what you're saying?
Isn't that just like a young person, though?
Just like a young buck.
I mean, I know myself as a very young person feel that way.
Well, you're older than I am. I'm old as hell.
So that does it for us. Flobo, we started the show with a tease. You've got a special guest tomorrow. Tell the world about it and where they can find you online.
Oh, yeah. Breaking news, if you follow the Twitter channel, our sister show, Draped in Gold, that's where Jack and I, or Jack gets to terrorize me for an hour, on Thursday afternoons, we recap NXT and NXT UK. Got Andy Shepherd, the play-by-play, the voice of NXT UK, is going to be live on the show and in virtual studios, I guess, helping us recap the NXT UK stuff. So much fun. It's kind of the end cap to this, because this time last year, we were trying to get Vince Russo on one of our shows. We had that happen too, so nice full circle action, and I'm so glad to be part of it.
Man, I was so glad to hear that we were going to get to have him on, or you were going to get to have him on, and I was going to get to be on while he was on, because I have become such a huge fan of NXT UK, and it's one of my favorite highlights of the week doing these shows, because it's so different. It's such an interesting spin on things. And so what I recommend to everyone, now is the perfect time. If you don't watch NXT UK, check it out on the network tomorrow, and then right afterwards join us as we recap it, but also chat with the voice of NXT UK. I think it's going to be really fun. I'm excited for it, and I appreciate you letting me be a part of it.
Yeah, man. I don't know if he's going to be supporting of your love of Eddie Dennis, but it's going to be a grand old time. DrapedInGold.com is the website. Going to be live on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook.
And if they follow you on Twitter, they can find it, right?
Yeah, they're live on Twitter too as well.
At Flobo.com?
Flobo. Twitter.com/FloboBoys or YouTube.com/FloboBoys or DrapedInGold.com.
Love it. And you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And I will see you guys next time. Do your best. Be yourself. Smooth outro.